xc.org. After American Roots, Janet Florian hosting 2 hours of On the River from 1 to 3. Then at 5 o'clock, it is Stay Human, with stories about getting fired and life after that sudden exit. Friends and neighbors brag about the jobs they got fired from in our weekly hour of story and song. Stay Human airs Saturday mornings at 9 and Sundays at 5 p.m. Coming up next weekend, the Minnesota Discovery Center in Chisholm is hosting Fossils, Fossils, Fossils on Saturday, March 29th from 11 to 4. Explore real fossils from the Iron Range and enjoy dino snacks. Now more from American Roots here on KAXE.
The Historic New Orleans Collection, a free museum in the heart of the French Quarter, presents A Vanishing Bounty, an exhibition on Louisiana's coastal environment and culture. Experience the region's land, air, and water. A Vanishing Bounty tells a story rich in history, nature, culture, and caution. For information, hnoc.org. New Orleans guitar and banjo player Detroit Brooks got a start touring with his musical family, including Father George Brooks Sr. of the gospel group Masonic Kings and his sister, gospel singer Juanita Brooks. Detroit grew up downriver, living four blocks from Fats Domino, and was greatly influenced by the late Creole banjo and guitar player Danny Barker. He created a festival in his memory. In addition to his career in music, Detroit worked as a barber and for Amtrak. He's well-versed in traditional jazz, R&B, soul, and funk. He's here as bandleader of the Syncopated Percolators at the New Orleans Jazz Museum, playing Hindustan on American Roots Live.
Classic New Orleans traditional jazz from Detroit Brooks and the Syncopated Percolators. We're going to meet all the percolators by and by. But first of all, I just want to say, hey, Detroit, it's good to see you again, man.
It's good to be seeing you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. And you're somebody that has a great appreciation of a man who became known as both a banjo player and a guitar, mostly in New York, and then he came back to New Orleans. And that's Danny Barker, somebody that you tribute each year. Say a little bit about you and Danny Barker, the late Danny Barker.
I actually had the opportunity to meet him and be in his presence because I played with my brother-in-law's band. I don't know if you know Edward Johnson. Mm-hmm. I was married into that family. Being married into that family, I played in his band. And did you know Arne Cagnoletti? Mm-hmm. Cag, one of the guys? Well, I played, he was my uncle-in-law.
Okay.
And Danny would come by his house when they'd do these trips, these long trips, and come home, they would have parties. Danny would come to the house and he would never play. He would talk to the band, but he would always go with the elders and tell, you know, what he'd do.
He's a great talker.
Tell stories.
Racket you know. Toy.
Right. So I never really got an opportunity to confront him, you know, to talk to him about that. And today I'm sorry I didn't, because it would have been a great history right. For me, you know. But I still, like you said, have the opportunity to records and his music, you know, and people that play with him.
And Danny had come back in, I guess, 1963, 1964. 64. From New York City, where he had been for many years with his wife, Lulu Barker, and she had the big hit on Don't You Feel My Leg, among other things. And,
yes.
And he also had bands that sang in Creole.
Right.
And recorded in Creole back when the jazz revival was just starting. So, and then he came here and really put together a lot of younger people
right.
who are now become the senior generation of traditionalists in the city.
Right. And I can actually say, because of Danny, that's the reason we're here.
Uh-huh.
All of us, you see, sitting up here today, we all had some influences.
From Danny Barker. Danny Barker,
yes.
Yeah. He had quite a personality. What has it led you to make the festival happen? Banjo and guitar and Danny Barker's name on it and his memory.
Because of his contribution. You know, Danny could have stayed in New York and become Sidney Bechet, Louis Armstrong, or, you know, just as famous as they were. But he decided to come home and give his time and spend his time in his last days with the youth of New Orleans, and, you know, and it made a big difference. You know, like I say, you look around, you got Winton, you got Dr. Michael White, you have Greg Stafford, Lucian Barber, and all these people were products of Danny Barker. So.
Right, the Fairview Baptist Church Band.
Exactly right. Danny never, like I say, he never met somebody that wasn't a friend.
Yeah.
You know, he was that type of a person.
Yeah. Well, is there a song that you do, either with guitar or banjo, that recalls Danny Barker?
Yes, we can. We can do the one that I'm just learning. Nevertheless, this is a song that Danny used to perform, and I'm gonna go for it. Not, it won't be like Danny, but it'll be a little different. There was only one Danny Barker. Ready? Maybe I'm weak, maybe I'm strong, but nevertheless, I'm in love with you. Maybe I win, or maybe I lose. Maybe I'm in for crying the blues, but nevertheless, I'm in love with you. Somehow I know at a glance the terrible chance I was taking. Fine at the start, then left with a heart that is breaking. Maybe I'll live a life of regret. Maybe I'll give much more than I get. But nevertheless, I'm in love with you.
Maybe I'm right, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm weak, and maybe I'm strong. Nevertheless, I'm in love with you. Maybe I'll win, or maybe I'll lose. And maybe I'll end up crying the blues. But nevertheless, I'm in love with you. Somehow I know at a glance the terrible chance I was taking. Breaking, breaking. Maybe I'll live a life of regret. Maybe I'll give us more than I get. But nevertheless, I'm falling in love with you.
Thank you. The voice and guitar of Detroit Brooks. Yeah. Thinking about Danny Barker. Down there on the end is a young man from a family, I believe, was, what did we come up with? Is it 15 or 16 kids?
It was 13 kids plus mom and dad.
Okay, so that would get us to 15 total in the family.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your father and the family band, because your learning of jazz is right inside the family for the second lines and parties and other types of activities.
Right. My father, Ernest Doc Paulin, he passed away in 2007 at 100 years old. Mm. So he was involved with the music, and he wasn't aware that he was involved with it. You know, they didn't have a name. They didn't have a name for the music, that style of music they were doing. And my dad said they call it gut bucket, or just, you know, they just, you know, called smoke up a dark alley. You know, we just going in there and go do something. You know, and that's what they were doing, you know, in New Orleans at that time. So my dad, he played trumpet, and we have a large family, and all family members played music. And my dad actually didn't really encourage the siblings, my brother and I. It was my mom. Hmm. She kept it together, or else. You know what I'm saying? You did one or two things. Either you read a book or you practiced your instrument. Which one you want?
Yeah, that sounds like a great upbringing, man. That's incredible, too. Yeah. But to be able to learn inside your family with, as you say, not really even having to learn just there. It's part of life. You're going to do it.
Right. That's exactly right.
So how did you end up with the trombone?
Well, I was playing baritone horn in elementary school, and my dad took me out Mardi Gras Day, I'll never forget, in 1971, 72. I was 12 years old, and we went out Mardi Gras morning. He said, "You coming with me?" Bam, get your horn. There it was. I could barely play a B-flat concert scale. I was out there. I was wide open. So there it was. And so over time, we worked on it, got it together, stayed in school, we practiced. You know, for the technical aspect of the music, we got that together. Then the jazz part came in as we got older, you know, playing with my dad, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, I always remember just seeing the band, the family band, often at Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Coming
yeah.
down the street. Give them a round of applause there, folks. Wayne Paulin on the trombone from that amazing Paulin family. So, what you got in mind? We have a nice long set list here, a lot of things to pick from.
When you're smiling, is that okay for y'all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Live on American Roots.
Yes.
you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, keep on laughing, and the sun will come shining through. But when you're crying, it brings out the rain. So stop your crying and be happy again. When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world will smile with you.
Detroit Brooks and the Syncopated Percolators, When You're Smiling, live at the New Orleans Jazz Museum. And we'll be back with conversation with more of the Percolators, including trumpeter Jamil Sharif and sax man Alonzo Bowen, when American Roots Live returns.
here at KAXC, we are excited to announce new programs coming to the airwaves in 2025, like Minnesota Mixtape, Fridays at 10 a.m. and Saturdays at 3 p.m. An hour-long spotlight of our local music scene, hosted by me, Malachi Coons. Minnesota Mixtape will continue KAXC's long tradition of uplifting local arts and will highlight the talents of Minnesota musicians by pairing the best new releases with familiar favorites from the past, alongside in-depth artist interviews and exclusive live sessions. Keep on the lookout for other exciting new shows on KAXC in the new year. Our new local music show is Minnesota Mixtape, Fridays at 10 a.m. and Saturdays at 3 p.m. on KAXE, made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
We're at the New Orleans Jazz Museum with Detroit Brooks and the Syncopated Percolators. Here they are to play Some of These Days on American Roots Live.
Syncopated percolators. Maybe we can just move to your left down there and talk about the man, really with the man on trumpet. That's Jamil Sharik. Give him a round for his solos. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the trumpet. I mean, obviously in New Orleans, we think of the trumpet as the clarion call, whether it's on a second line or on the bandstand. What's your background in the city and in the music?
Well, music has been in my family since the late 1800s. My great-grandfather was J.B. Humphrey, known as Professor J.B. Humphrey, and he taught music throughout the various plantations in Louisiana. A lot of the musicians that are prominent for some of the brass bands, some of them were his students, like Kid Ory, Jim Robinson, John Cosmere, the clarinet player. But my cousins on my father's side were Willie, Percy Humphrey, and Earl Humphrey, who played Preservation Hall. My father played trumpet, so it's been something that's just been in the family, and I've been sort of trying to, you know, keeping the tradition going.
But that is an amazing lineage. I mean, that's just the lineup of some of the greatest players of, you know, over 100 years here. It's amazing to hear that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's great you're here. Yeah. Give him a round of applause. Thank you for your brief narrative there. Next to you, I believe that's Alonzo Bowen right there. Maybe you can drag in that microphone just a bit. I know Alonzo from your days at what we now call the Willow School, leading the band, but I know you've done so many other things. I think some of the building trades and music and a variety of things. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the saxophone and the clarinet. Yeah.
Well, actually, I started playing music around 14, 15, but I started on saxophone, and I had a very good teacher, the late Alvin Thomas, jazz musician, and he really inspired me to excel in the saxophone, because I have some family members that play music or played music. Actually, my first cousin, Warner Williams, he gave me my first saxophone, and I just took a liking to it, and over the years just continued to play. And so from there, I just continued studying and went on the road playing with different groups, played with Dr. John, Ellis Marsalis, and just locally, and been everywhere basically playing. But the most interesting thing is that I just actually picked up the clarinet about 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, and it was kind of funny because I was asked to do a gig, and they said, well, it's a traditional gig, but you need to play clarinet. I said, well, I don't play clarinet. I said, well, this is what the gig pays. Can I learn on the gig? So I was like, yeah, great. So from then on, I just took a liking to it. And I mean, I really enjoy playing it.
And has it taken a liking to you?
It's a love hate. but it's starting to get real close.
Well, we're glad that today you're a syncopated percolator.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we'll keep going with a little bit more history with everybody in a few minutes. Yeah, let's give him a round of applause. All right. Lonzo Bowen. We may get to clarinet yet. So back to the leader on the bandstand. There seems to be something going around here as to what might come next.
We're gonna feature Mr. Lonzo Bowen on Basin Street Blues.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Basin Street Blues.
Detroit Brooks and the Syncopated Percolators with Alonzo Bowen on clarinet at the New Orleans Jazz Museum, not too far from Basin Street. We got a few more tunes percolating, and we'll chat with the rhythm section in a minute when American Roots Live returns.
Stepping away briefly from American Roots on KAXE, I'm Malachi Coons. We will get you right back to the program. Support for this station comes from our listener members and from the First State Bank of Big Fork, with branches in Big Fork and Kellyer, offering tools for managing money on any mobile device, hometown banking at its best since 1912, or at fsbbigfork.com, member FDIC. Check out the latest Up North report at kaxe.org, local news from our region. And tune in during Morning Edition, World Cafe, and All Things Considered, or you can also find it as a podcast. Is there news in your region we should know about? Please email news@kaxe.org. Right now, Northwood's Friends of the Arts in Cook are presenting entries from their annual photo contest, A Shot in the Dark, through March 28th. The gallery is open Thursday and Friday from 10 to 4 and Saturdays from 9 to 1. Now more from American Roots.
I'm Nick Spitzer. This is American Roots Live from New Orleans, where the modest and kindly band leader Detroit Brooks is about to sing What a Wonderful World.
Our own arrangement. I hear babies crying, and I watch them grow. What they're really saying, you and I will never know. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. Then I say to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh, what a wonderful world. Clouds of white, bright, blessed days, dark, sacred nights. Then I say to myself, what a wonderful world. Of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, and the looks on all the faces of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? What they really say is I love you. I hear babies cry, and I watch them grow. What they're really saying, you and I never know. Then I say to myself, what a wonderful world.
colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky. And the looks on the faces of all the people passing by. Saying, how do you do? What they really say is, I love you. I hear babies cry, and I watch them grow. What they really say, you and I would never know. And I say to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh. Then I say to myself, what a wonderful world.
Detroit Brooks.
So tell us a little bit about your family here at the 88s. I know you've done Preservation Hall quite a bit over the years, but and thank you for being here. Your playing is just, his playing is amazing.
Thank you very much. My name is Ricky Monet, and I started playing piano at the tender age of 8. It was inherent that I become a musician. My mother's only brother was a jazz saxophonist, Booker Irvin. I'll make a long story short. I majored in woodwinds. I did my senior recital at Dillard University on clarinet. But I've always played piano. I've played in churches. My first professional job as a pianist was, I was at the age of 13. And I've been playing for churches for many, 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 many years. But I know you mentioned Preservation Hall, but before Preservation Hall, I was a clarinetist in Olympia Brass Band. And I traveled the world with the Olympia Band. And when I left that band, I worked at the Windsor Court as a pianist, did a lot of their corporate functions, and started at Preservation Hall as a pianist. I first substituted in 1982 for the legendary Sweet Emma Barrett. Oh, but I retired from the road with Preservation Hall in 2016. After so many years out there, I've been around the world many times, played for many U.S. presidents, the Queen of England, the King of Thailand, just all over everywhere.
All right. Give him a round of applause for that great narrative, but I got to ask you, do you ever feel lonely when a second line goes by? I mean, you don't go pushing your piano down the street.
I don't. And I have played clarinet in some jazz funerals.
I think right now we're... ready to go back to a little bit more music, but we got to get over to the rhythm section over there. And are you passing the microphone away, Gerald? It's Gerald back there, Gerald French. Give him a round. Keeping time back there. Thank you for that, Gerald.
Thank you. You're welcome.
No, I knew Bob French.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. You're kin to him.
Yeah, Bob's my uncle.
Uncle Bob.
Yeah, Uncle Bob.
So, but tell us about playing drums in the French family and music in the family.
Music for me was osmosis. I mean, it was like you were around it all the time. I mean, I started going to gigs with my grandfather as soon as I could use the bathroom by myself. You know, my mom would get me dressed and I'd put on my Sunday, you know, suit, and I would go to the Fairmont with my grandfather.
Fairmont Hotel.
Yeah, and well, now the Roosevelt.
Right.
And I would go with my grandfather to gigs, you know. There, also the New Orleans Country Club. And then later on, towards the end of my grandfather's life, he had his own club on Bourbon Street, right there where the Tropical Isle is.
And what was the name of the club?
It's called Tradition Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been around the music. I mean, my mom said she knew I was going to play something because, well, she knew I was going to play drums. Because whenever she would go to the club and Bob would be playing, I would start moving in her stomach. So she said, yeah, he's going to be a drummer. Yeah.
You know, there's a question I never did ask Bob or anyone in your families, but mm-hmm. do you know how far back the name French goes in your family?
Yeah. My family came here about 1860 from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And actually, my great-grandfather was a tuba player that played on the river, and his name was Bob. Hmm. That's where Bob gets his name from. My grandfather's father's name was Bob.
So you came in from an English-speaking American state to Louisiana, mm-hmm. which by then is an American state, but dominantly French-speaking, mm-hmm. probably till the Civil War.
Right.
And real into the 20th century.
Right.
Did anyone in the family learn French or speak French that you know?
Well, my grandmother, she spoke fluent French.
Yeah.
So whenever she would be at the hall and we would have visitors from out of town, she could
handle that.
Yeah, she could have a conversation with the people in French and with no problem.
Well, thank you for being a French.
Well, now, well, you know, it wasn't my idea, but I'm glad I am.
We all are glad, too.
Yeah.
So that brings us to Mr. Bassman. Maybe you can pass that mic over to him on the stand there. Richard Moten, give him a round for what he's been doing out here, which is phenomenal bass playing. All right. Now, you've been on a couple of these American Roots live shows. Were you with Don Vappy?
I was.
That's right. You were with Don Vappy.
That's my cousin.
Okay, so then I learned this from Don when we did that show, and I just have to bring it back, is that up until a few years ago, you kept going with a trade. You've been a plumber.
Right. I was a plumber for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a classical family. My mother played classical piano. You know, I played piano when I was seven until 14, and then I begged for an electric bass. I wanted, because when I was playing piano, I always was drawn to the bass line.
How'd that go down with Mom?
She was excited. I was still interested in music.
Okay.
She just wanted to keep it going. In fact, my first few months playing electric bass, I got a gig with William Houston. A lot of these guys here have played with William Houston's band. And at 14, I was playing with that band. And I thought I was a hot shot, you know.
Yeah.
I got good really fast. And then my neighbor gave me an album of Ahmad Jamal.
Oh.
And I realized I didn't know anything about playing music.
You're the non-hot shot now.
Yeah. Well, that knocked me right off of that.
Well, I got to remind you that something Don Vappy said when we were working together before, we had been talking about you being a plumber, and you said you were glad you weren't working as a plumber anymore, and you were, you know, pretty much playing music full time. And in the middle of the gig, during a solo point, I remember Don turned to you and said, "Give the plumber some." I remember that once a day, I think. we'll give the plumber, give the man a round of applause there. Richard Moten on bass, so great to hear from you and everybody. And before we go, I think the idea was maybe to give us a gospel tune on the way out.
Yes, let's go.
Okay, here's the planner. Give him another round of applause here.
Thank you very
Detroit
much.
Brooks, he's the man with the plan. Thank you.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely? Longing for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eyes I know he watches me. That's why I sing because I'm happy. Oh, I sing because I'm free. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. Oh, I sing because I'm happy. Oh, I sing because I'm free. His eyes are the sparrow, and I know he watches over me.
Detroit Brooks, and the syncopated percolators here at the New Orleans Jazz Museum on American Roots Live. With you, great audience, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Nick Spitzer, and to the Jazz Museum for hosting us.
American Roots is produced at Tulane University School of Liberal Arts. Our presenting station is WWNO-FM at the University of New Orleans. Special thanks to Supervisory Ranger Matt Hampsey and Ranger Karen Armacost of the New Orleans Jazz National Historical Park, Ellen Durand of White Oak Productions, Travis Wagaspak and Danny Kadar for recording the concert, and Greg Lambuzzi of the New Orleans Jazz Museum. Our American Roots crew includes Maureen Loughran, Olivia Broslowski, Lauren Callahan, the late Ken Mills, Gavin Hannenberg, and Rachel Orter. American Roots is supported by the National Endowment for the Arts and Jim Hart in Chicago. Thanks also to Offbeat, America's roots music magazine at offbeat.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and our website, AmericanRoutes.org, where a quarter century of our programs and interviews stream. You can also support the program there. I'd appreciate it. Stay well. Until that time, I'm Nick Spitzer for American Roots from PRX. Public Radio Exchange.
Tornadoes, fires, blizzards. We don't like to think about it, but when severe weather hits, how will you stay informed? Hi, I'm Steve Noy, IT and broadcast engineer for KAXE. As an IT professional, it's hard to admit, but in the event of inclement weather, I can't totally count on my phone or internet. As our nation recently realized during the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy or the wildfires in California, weather and power outages can take